Today, as we celebrate this glorious solemnity of the Annunciation, which is actually the feast of the Incarnation, it is the day on which our Lord began his life in the womb of his mother. And so today he took flesh in our Blessed Lady's womb and began the process of the growth in human life. And as we recognize in the second reading, the very purpose for this was so that he could come into this world, take a human nature to himself so that he could die, so that he could save us from our sins. That was the whole purpose of the Incarnation, was our salvation. So he humbled himself with the entire purpose of exalting us. It's a rather astounding thing. And we see the humility of our Lord in this way. He is God, and he took a human nature, and he kept his divinity completely hidden so that nobody knew. And when we see that humility, we recognize that is also what we see in our Blessed Lady. When she speaks to the angel and asks, "How can this be?" It's a rather astounding thing that, as we've told you before, the town of Nazareth was founded by the very people who, having looked at Scripture, believed that the Messiah was going to come from one of their families. The word comes from the Hebrew word natzer, which means a shoot, as in a shoot will sprout from the stump of Jesse. So they had figured all of this out, looking at the different lines, and they knew the Messiah had to come from one of these families. So she grew up there. That was the purpose why the town was founded. And then she knew the Scriptures well. The first reading that we heard with Isaiah and God saying to Ahaz, remember Ahaz was an absolute wretch of a man, and God says, go ahead, ask for a sign, ask for anything that you want, let it be as high as the sky or as deep as the nether, well, ask for anything. And when Ahaz refuses, God says, fine, I'll give you a sign. And he says, a virgin will be with child. Now, the Hebrew in that, we need to be clear, the word that's used there is what would normally be translated as a young woman. It's the word alma in Hebrew. And when they looked at that, the rabbis, you know, what kind of a sign is it that a young woman would have a baby? Yeah, it's a sign if an old woman has a baby, but a young woman, that's the norm. Hardly a sign that a young woman's going to have a child. So they understood that this wasn't just the average young woman. This was going to be a virgin. And so when they translated the Hebrew into Greek, the word that they used to translate Alma was not Neonios, which means a young woman in Greek. It was Parthenos, which means a virgin. And so they understood that what God was talking about was something truly extraordinary. A virgin is going to conceive and bear a son. Now, all of that's stuff that we know, but then we have to look at it from Our Lady's perspective. It's pretty obvious when the angel appears that she was not sitting back saying, well, look, I live in the town of Nazareth. I know that the Messiah is going to come from one of these family lines. I'm a virgin. Therefore, I'm one of the possibilities of being the mother of the Messiah. No, it's pretty obvious she wasn't thinking that way. Even to the point of saying, how can this be? Because we have to understand when she asks that question, it tells us, remember, when someone is betrothed, they are already married. This is not being engaged. They are married. But they don't live together. In Galilee at that time, it was usually about 6 months before they lived together and consummated the marriage. So when she asks, how can this be, in a normal circumstance, that would make no sense, except that she had made a vow of virginity. And therefore, the question, how can it be that I'm going to have a child when I am vowed to virginity? And so then the angel is able to explain all of that. And the most extraordinary thing of it all, now obviously the incarnation's even more extraordinary, but on the human level, the most extraordinary thing is that Our Lady was willing to accept something that did not make sense, something that does not make sense. How can a virgin be with child? It's only happened once. It's obviously not the norm. How can this be? She was able to say yes, thanks be to God, that she believes something that on the natural level is impossible. And yet, even in the face of that, the angel is able to say, with God, all things are possible. I think the way it's put here is that nothing is impossible for God. And thanks be to God for our Blessed Lady's faith and for her charity. Of course, her love for God, she's going to say yes to what God wants. But we also have to recognize that it is out of love for us. She said yes, knowing if this is going to be the Messiah, she knew in essence, obviously she might not have known the details, but she knew in essence what this was going to mean. This child who is going to be born is coming into this world to die. She knew that her son was going to be put to death. She knew that he was going to be the lamb that would take away the sins of the world. She knew those things. And still she said yes, because she loved God so much and because she loved us so much. What is so extraordinary when we look at it from a human perspective is that there is nothing selfish in what Our Lady did. Think of our own self. Put yourself into a situation like that, and we can ask ourselves, how much selfishness would there be? How much pride would there be? How much of my own self would I be putting in there? Our Lady had none of that. Of course, she is without sin. She's the most humble person that has ever walked the face of the earth next to her son. And so, yeah, she didn't have any of that, but that's the part that we have to look at, to be able to see the kind of humility and the kind of charity that we should be about in our daily lives as well. It was precisely her humility and her charity that allowed the incarnation to happen, and therefore ultimately for us to be saved. Well, God doesn't change, and neither do the requirements of salvation. So he's asking us to be humble. He's asking us to be charitable. He's asking that we would have so profound of a love for God and neighbor that we would be willing to say yes to whatever it is that he asks of us, whether it seems rather pleasant or whether it is very difficult, whether it makes sense to us or if it doesn't. That's the lesson that we learn from our Blessed Lady. Everything that followed is because of her yes. And her yes is because of her faith and her charity. So think about that. As you look at what our Lord did in his love for us and his humility, we also need to look at that point of how much our Blessed Lady loves each one of us. She's our mother in the spiritual realm. Her yes to God was not a momentary thing that went away. It continued throughout her entire life, and it continues throughout eternity. As she was able to say yes because of us and for us, she continues to do the same. So we know how much God loves us. We recognize also how much our Blessed Lady loves us. And then that's the example. If we're going to be children of God, as we know from Scripture, we have to love as God loves. We're also children of Our Lady, so we can love as our Blessed Lady loves. What a beautiful thing. What a glorious call for each one of us. When we think about the incarnation, yes, it is about our salvation. It's to set us free from sin And if we're set free from sin, what does that allow us to do? It allows us to love. Sin is selfish. Love is selfless. The Lord came to set us free. Our Lady gives us the example of what that's going to look like. It's what we're going to be doing for eternity. It's what we want to start doing now to prepare ourselves for eternity by striving to be humble, by striving to love God and neighbor, to have the freedom of the children of God, free of sin, free therefore to love.